Rabosu, we're going to learn a little mini sugya, a little nice little light piece of Gemara. Now, out of nowhere, really out of nowhere, the Gemara here in this fourth paragraph of Maseches Shabbos is talking about hatmana. And hatmana is an isser that you're not allowed to insulate with different items on Shabbos. And mamish, out of nowhere, the Gemara tells us, Amar Aviyana, tefillin sar gufnaki, that when you wear tefillin, you have to have a gufnaki. And the Gemara gives an example, Kalisha bal kanafai, mahi, what does it mean, gufnaki? Abai amar shlo yafiach bahem. Rashi explains, sheyachol lahamid at shlo yafiach, sheyachol lahamid atzim b'shas haruach. And Rava says, shlo yisham bahem, that you're not allowed to sleep. Either you can't pass gas with tefillin, or you're not allowed to sleep with tefillin because you might come to pass gas, etc. Avam yachli zar sholi shambayan kol aguf nekiyah b'hafacha shichom lahamid atzman. So the Gemara tells us that in general we assume that even though it's a very natural bodily function to pass gas, you're allowed to wear tefillin because a person can be in control of that bodily function when he's wearing tefillin. When you're sleeping, you're not as in control of that bodily function. Therefore, you're not allowed to wear tefillin when you're asleep. You're allowed to wear tefillin when you're awake because you can control that. And then the Gemara says, again, it's hard to understand what's the movement that the Gemara is making. Elisha Baal Knafayim, like the story of Elisha Baal Knafayim. So what's the story? So the Gemara describes, beautiful little story, that it was during the time of Roman persecution. Pamachas Gozer Melech Romis HaRosha Gzera Al Yisrael Shekal Meniyat Tefillin Yinakru Es Mocha. So anyone who wears tefillin, he will have his brains basically gouged out. As simple as that. Voy Elisha Meniach. And Elisha put on tefillin. V'yotzei Lashuk. Ra'ohu Kazdor Echad. You know what Kazdor means? So look at Rashi. I love these Rashis. What does Rashi say? No, read it. A minister. Ministerial. Someone who is involved in an officer. Correct. So he sees that he's an officer who's dealing with these issues, and he saw that Elisha was wearing tefillin. Rats mi panav, so Elisha ran away. Rats acharav, became shigia etzlo not mirosha. So now Elisha took it off his head, v'achzam biyada, and he put the tefillin in his hands. Amalei maze biyadcha, amalei kanfeyona, pasha es yada v'nimtzu kanfeyona. Lefika korno so, Elisha bal kinafai. Umaishna kanfeyona bishar ofos mishum da amsil knesisol yonish nemar kanfeyona nechpeva kesev ma yona kanfeyona maginos alea afiso mitzos meginos aleim. So just like a yona, his wings protect him from predators and the like, so too mitzos protect Klal Yisrael from things that come to attack Klal Yisrael. Okay, so you have this story of Elisha Baal Knafayim. What I want to just do is very quickly explore, since before Purim we discussed the Karka Olam and Yahar Baal Yavar and this and that, so as kind of a, I'll call it the morning after and hangover day, so we will discuss just some, again, it's in Maseches Shabbos, so we decided to jump over here as well, just to discuss what exactly is going on in this Gemara. So there's two basic issues. Issue number one is, let's discuss, back to Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Daled. Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Daled, when do you have to give up your life? What is the din of your Yahar Baal Yavar? What are the cases that the Gemara tells you have to give up your life? Shas. Before we get to Shas Hachanam, let's start with the beginning. You have, number one. Number one is the big three. If someone asks you to violate the big three, either Avodah Zarah, Shvichus Dam, Gilei Arayis, you have to give up your life. That's unequivocal, nothing to talk about. Then the Gemara says that it's not only limited to the big three, but sometimes you have to give up your life even for the big 6-10. When do you have to give up your life for the big 6-10? Two other possibilities. One is if you're in the public domain, Bifar Hesi, you have to give up your life for 6-10. And the other one is Shas HaShmad, is there's a Gzeras HaMalchus, where they're persecuting the Jewish people. They're trying to remove the Jews from their religion. Then even 6-10, you have to do what? You have to give up your life. So this Gemara really poses, well, before we get, okay, let's take a step backwards again. Why would you say you have to give up your life for the big three? What's the reason that you have to give up your life for the big three? I think there are two possibilities. Why do you have to give up your life for the big three? Mayor, what do you got?
Because the big three symbolizes your all different types of connections you may have with people or Hashem.
That's a little too fluffy, Mayor. Big three. Yeah.
The big three do irreparable damage.
I see you're all still hungover. Why do you have to give up your life for the big three? Is Shabbos a big one?
Yeah.
It's a big one, but it's not the big three. So what is unique about, like, what's the big three? What's so special? What's so important about the big three?
Affects
other people.
All right.
Meaning, Rabbi Osei, if I were to ask a question, simple question. What is more important? Torah's Hashem or human life? What's more important? Mitzvos or human life? Weigh them. In a balance, mitzvos or human life, which one has a greater priority? What does the Judaism value more? This is what I think. I think mitzvos are more important. However, the Torah came along with a gzeiras hakosef and says that mitzvahs are what? Are v'chai bohem. You're supposed to live by the mitzvahs rather than die by mitzvahs. So really, if you didn't have that pasuk, what would be the rule? The rule would be yar v'yavar to everything. How can you go ahead and not listen to Tzivei Hashem even in the face of your life? Comes the v'chai bohem and says, no, I want you to prioritize what? I want you to prioritize life over mitzvos. Bamed varma murim. When is that true? When does v'chai bohem kick in?
6:10.
By 6:10. But when you have the big three, then we default to the core rule. And the core rule is? Mitzvos trump. Now, why the mitzvos? Why are these three unique? So I want to posit two ideas. One idea is that these are the big three. Meaning what? Big three is, we're going to call this Chumras Ha'avera. These Averos are so fundamental, so significant, so at the core of Yadus, Avodah Zarah, Ritzicha, and Gilei Arayos, that yes, they override, if you will, other Limudim will override V'chai Bohem. Because of Chumras Ha'aveira. When it comes to 6:10 after V'chai Bohem, so life trumps mitzvahs. But when it comes to these core fundamental ideas, these mitzvahs actually indeed trump human life. Okay? That's one tranche. That's one idea. Let's just take it down a level. Farhesia and Shas HaShmah. What is the halacha when it comes to, let's say, Shara Veros Befarhesia? What's the din? You got to give up your life. Why? Because who said? Wawa? Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem. Because now in public, you're being asked to eat a cheeseburger, and you say, sure, no problem. Where's the ketchup? That is a Chil Hashem. At some point, if they're in public trying to get you to do something, you have to say, there's lines that you have to draw. So Chil Hashem, Farhesia, represents an idea of Chil Hashem. Furthermore, what's the idea of Shas HaShmad? If they're trying to, basically, and you'll notice, was Esther a time of Shas HaShmad? Was Esther a time of Farhesia? Yeah, it was. So what was, and the Gemara asks, how could she go ahead and do what? Gilui? Arayos, after all, Farhesia, Shas HaShmad, what's the Gemara's answers? One answer is Karka Olam. The other answer is Hanoas Atzman. So let's analyze those for a second. If the idea is Chil Hashem, when is it a Chil Hashem? When is it a Chil Hashem? If the oppressor is agenda driven. If he's agenda-driven, what do I mean by agenda-driven?
He's trying to make a point.
He's trying to undermine Judaism. But was that when Achashverosh, Gemara says, what was his agenda? Hanos Atzman. That was his agenda. That's not called an agenda of undermining. He wanted a good, a fun night. So he got Esther. But that's not called an agenda of undermining, and therefore that's not called what? That's not called a chilul Hashem. Was she therefore allowed to engage? She was allowed to engage because if the whole idea is gilui raos for her, again, he's a guy, whatever, is shar averos, it's only usher if there's chilul Hashem involved. Chilul Hashem, yes, farhesias chilul Hashem, shas hashmadas chilul Hashem. However, in a situation where he's doing lahanos atzman, then what? Then what? Then it's not a chilul Hashem. By the way, it says Esther was farhesia. Yeah? There were people in the royal bedroom. So what does it mean Esther was farhesia? Everyone knew. You see, you don't have to. Farhesia means, and if the idea is chilul Hashem, so it doesn't matter whether you're eyewitness. What matters is perception. And therefore, even though they weren't eyewitness, but if the idea is chilul Hashem, then there's a perception, there's something going on, everyone knows about it, and therefore chilul Hashem is going to be relevant. 1 second. What's the other answer to the Gemara that Esther was allowed to submit herself? Karka Olam. What's the idea over there? What's the logic of that? If she's passive, therefore what? So it's only a chilul Hashem if you're what? If you're doing something, but the idea of,
people outside don't know that.
Well, maybe they do, because maybe Bia, inherently, for the Isha, as Tosis writes, is Karka Olam. So if inherently she's just Shevi Al Taseh, she's not doing anything, Chil Hashem demands an action, a something. If I sit back and do nothing, perhaps that does not represent Chil Hashem. So I think Farhesi and Shas HaShmat are clearly not, they're Chil Hashem ideas. Now, one could argue that even the big three, there's another possibility over here. And the big three, yeah, might be Chumers HaVera, but also might be a function of Chil Hashem. What do I mean by that? These Averos. You see, usually Chil Hashem is done because of environmental conditions. A Farhesi environmental condition or a Shas HaShmat environmental condition. This is a time of attack, and then it's going to apply even to 6:10. But perhaps the big three, the very nature, is every single mitzvah created equal? Not every single mitzvah is created equal. These mitzvahs are so central, so fundamental, that yes, if on a gun to your head, you're told to bow down to an idol, that would be a chilul Hashem. It would be a chilul Hashem to say, yes, my life comes first. My religion comes second. When it comes to something that is so fundamental, you have to take a religious stand. And if you don't take a religious stand, that represents chilul Hashem. And you have to say, yes, my belief in God, my allegiance, I pledge allegiance to God is greater, is more important to me than my life. And that is a statement of Kiddush Hashem versus chilul Hashem. So that's how the sugi in Sanhedrin kind of plays itself out. How is that relevant to our little story of Elisha Baal Knafai? So there's two basic questions that the Rishonim are bothered by. Question number one is, Elisha, this is the time of Shas HaShmat. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
How do we know that? Because the Gemara says it. The Gemara says that Mefurish, it was a time that Malchus Romi HaRasha Gazra Al Yisrael Shekol HaMemiyat Tfilin Yinakru. Everyone who puts on tefillin gets their brains skewered. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. It's a Shas HaShmat. So what are the two questions that perhaps emerge over here? Number one is, or number two is, so step one is, A, was he or was he not supposed to put it on? And you'd argue, simple pasuk pshat, Shas HaShmat means, would he have to put it on?
Yeah.
L'chora, yes. Otherwise, the Chil Hashem. But then, number two is, then if on the back end, so once the Roman was chasing, what did he do? He took it off. So these are the core questions that the Rishonim are bothered by, are asking, what was the basis for putting it on? What was the basis of putting it off? And really the dominant question, the second question, how could you take it off if it was a time of Shas HaShmat? Yes, Aryeh altered. Well, again, it sounds like the Rashi explains that there's a, the Gemara says Gzeres Gazal Yisrael. So there was an agenda, and this Kazdor was commissioned to enforce the law. So Pashas, yes, it is agenda-driven. Yes, Ving?
Just a question on the basis that to do a Kalashah has to be agenda-driven. If you go to, say, Costco and you're waiting in line, and all of a sudden you just start yelling at someone random about some little stuff, they cut you in line or whatever, is that... That's a
whole
right?
Oh, okay, so there is then this, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up. There is then something called what I will call the colloquial use of the term Chol Hashem. Here we're looking, when we talk about these sugyas, this is a very halachic sugya of Chil and Kiddush Hashem. And then we have a concept of Chil Hashem that's more of a colloquial idea, is that every Jew is a representative of, if you will, an ambassador of Hashem in this world. And when a Jew is doing something inappropriate in the public domain, that represents a Chil Hashem, or Kiddush Hashem as the case may be. So when a Jew is is in an environment where the expectations are to social distance and wear masks, and Jews are blatantly not doing so, yes, that would certainly be classified as a colloquial Chil Hashem. Not exactly the same as the sugya, but certainly connected and related. Yes, Noah?
Why does nobody try to answer for Alicia that it's different when there's a threat to put a gun to your head, that there's a decree out, but it's different when there's an officer right there with the gun at your head? Put it on in the time when there was...
Let's see the Rishonim quickly. Let's go quickly. Quickly. Big difference. Chumas Haver has nothing to do with Chil Hashem. Chumas Haver means that these, not every mitzvah is created equal. And these big three, normally speaking, life is more important than mitzvahs because of a Chai Bohem. These big three are more important than life.
Isn't that what is our Chil
Hashem? Again, you don't have to go to Chil Hashem. It could just be...
Reason.
What?
You don't say Chil Hashem is the reason.
So I'm saying you don't have to say that. Now, there's one reason might be Chumas Havera. A second reason might be what? Might be Chil Hashem. There's a very famous, I'm just going to mention it, hands down, I've got to go weiter. There's a very famous Machlokes Ramban and Baal HaMa'or in Masechet Sanhedrin. Very, very famous issue. Let's say, well, I'll give you two famous issues. Number one is, let's say, I am asked by a Gentile, do me a favor, I got a big Avodah Zarah party, and I need some incense for the big Avodah Zarah party I'm making. Do me a favor, burn me some incense so I can use it for my big Avodah Zarah party. Okay? And he says, by the way, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to put a gun through your head. Are you allowed to give him the incense? What am I violating when I give him the incense? Am I doing Avodah Zarah? No. Is he going to do Avodah Zarah? Mm-hmm. Yes. So what am I doing? Who said Lifnei Iver? I heard of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah. Do I have to give up my life for Lifnei Iver? Is Lifnei Iver big three or is it 6'10"? 6'10". So what's the simple explanation? Do I have to give up my life?
I feel like it depends.
I don't have to give up my life. That's the push-up shot. And that is, I believe, if I remember correctly, the Ramban. You don't have to give up your life, 6'10". You know what the Baal HaMa'or says? You have to give up your life. You know why? Because Lifnei Iver is a chameleon Isser. What do I mean by a chameleon Isser? When I violate Lifnei Iver, for example, on an Isser, let's say I pass a Nuzer, a cheeseburger. Not a cheeseburger, a glass of wine. So what Avera do I violate? Do I violate the Isser of Lifnei Iver? Or do I violate the Isser of Nuzer? I'm an accessory to his Avera of a Nuzer drinking wine. So he comes along the other day at the Baal HaMa'or and says that when you go ahead and do what? You sell the incense? You give over the incense? You are over the Isser of Avodah Zarah. It's a chameleon Isser. An accessory to Avodah Zarah has the Chumras HaIsser of Avodah Zarah. That would be Yehovah Yahweh. That's an amazing Chiddush. You want to hear one more Chiddush while on topic? A guy has a girlfriend and someone is very, very frum. So he's only keeps the halachas. He doesn't violate yichud, he doesn't violate negiyah, no nothing. But someone puts a gun to your head, and says, hold her hand, or else I will put a bullet through your head. Is the Isser Negia Yahari Val Yavar?
No.
Why would it be Yahari Val Yavar? So there's a Gemara in Psachim Dav Chav Hei, Sanhedrin Dav Ayin Hei. Both say similar ideas. Watch this. A person's deathly ill. Deathly ill. And he needs a refuah. And the refuah can come, the only refuah available is Atzei Asherah. Atzei Asherah. What's Atzei Asherah? Avodah Zarah tree. Are you allowed to deliver the refuah from Atzei Asherah? The Gemara says, Ein misrapi me'atzei Asherah. You're not allowed to be misrapi from Atzei Asherah. Why not? Because Atzei Asherah is what? Is a tree of Avodah Zarah. Now they get hana from it. Okay, good. Now I get hana from it. Am I worshipping it when I take some medicine that's made from the Atzei Asherah? The answer is no. So some Rishon learned this Gemara as anything that is in, you've heard of New York City?
No.
You've heard of New York City? New York City. Then you have Stanford, Connecticut. Then you have Englewood, New Jersey. Fort Lee. You have Nassau County. What are all these places called? They're not called the metropolitan area. They're called the greater metropolitan area. Got it? So some Rishonim say, when we speak about Yahar Yavar for Avodah Zarah, it doesn't just include Avodah Zarah, but what this Gemara indicates is includes the greater metropolitan area. That is to say, any Avera that has anything to do with the Yisra Avodah Zarah is Yahar Yavar. So Atzei Asherah getting Hanah is within the world of Avodah Zarah, Yahar Yavar. You remember the Gemara in the Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Hey? I know you do. Gemara has a case of a very, very sick person. Really sick. He's going to die. What's he sick from? He's lovesick. But he's going to die. And he says, I need to be with this woman or else I will die. What do the rabbis say? Yahar Val Yavar. Die. He says, okay, I don't really need to be with her. All I need is just to see her naked. And the Gemara says, good night. He says, I don't even need to see her naked. All I need to do is talk to her from behind a wall. I don't have to see her. Just talk to her. And what does the Gemara tell us? Yaharik v'al yavar. So what's pshat? Different ways to learn the Gemara. But one dominant way of learning the Gemara is that anything that is in the world of Gilei Arayos is part of greater Gilei Arayos, has a din of Yahari Val Yavar. There's a beautiful Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm going a little off topic, but it's okay. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what is the consequence? Gemara tells us, Hamevayish es chavero berabim, or hamalbim pnei chaver berabim. If you do what? If you embarrass your friend in public, in a public way, it's ki'ilu shofach damav. It's as if you did what? You killed him. You know what Rabbeinu Yonah says? If someone puts a gun to your head and says, embarrass your friend in public, you know what the din is? You have to take the bullet. Is it Shvichos Damim? It's not Shvichos Damim, but it's part of the greater metropolitan area. You have to
either
give up your life. What?
Either way, it's in public.
What do you mean, it's either way, it's in public?
Because either way, you're only in public. It's only as if killing him if you make fun of him in public.
In public.
Right, so...
So what?
So it's
really still not killing him.
Right, because
either way, you have to give up your life for doing whatever you're public. No.
Why?
I mean, before Hesia. Okay, maybe. I hear what you're saying. Okay, that's background information. Let's talk about Elisha Bal Kanafayim for a second. Elisha Bal Kanafayim. So take a look at the Tosis, Ritva, and the Ra. So Tosis writes over here, Nutla Merosho. So Elisha took the tefillin off his head. V'yavagav damer b'sanhedrin. B'shas g'zeres ha'malchus ha'filo mitzakali, or v'al yavar filo shanuye araksa demisano Osir. So the Gemara tells us that during the time of Shas Hashmad, if the Goyim make a decree that all Jews have to wear red shoelaces, otherwise we kill you, you have to give up your life. Why? So Gemara says his pshat is because there it's mishum deshini araksa misnai kovid kochav v'dome shemotzi atzim miklal yisrael avahacha ina osa klum elashen lo tulim barosha shachas abayisol shiglam tefillin kamoso. In other words, what does Tosis say? Why was Elisha allowed to take off his tefillin? Taking off a tefillin, Shas Hashmad, you have to look at what the demand represents. What would the Gemara tells us, the Jews had a decree, you have to put on red shoelaces. What did that requirement represent during that time? What it represents? Goyim did what? They wore red shoelaces. So Jews, we want you to blend in. We want you to assimilate. In that context, you can't change your shoelaces. But over here, do Jews wear tefillin 12-6? They don't wear tefillin 12-6. Sometimes you wear tefillin, sometimes you don't. Taking off your tefillin is not, now all of a sudden be like a Goyim. I just wore tefillin. I don't have to wear 12-6. And therefore, that is not representative of a lahaviram al hadas. The idea is that they want to blend you into the garden. Now, Rabosa, if you're in a society, let's say, where all the Jews have to wear a yellow star, they're required to wear a yellow star. Based on this tesis, would that be a hard bal yavam? It's definitely Shas Hashmat. They're definitely trying to destroy us and kill us. Is it a yahari bal yavam? I would say not, though. I would say not. It would not be. The idea Tos saying is they're trying to assimilate you. Here, where they're trying to, the opposite, is to isolate, to differentiate you. I'm not saying it would be, in other words, according to this Tosis, it wouldn't be Yahari Vayavar. Vaitrin Shas. Chidush HaRitva. The Ritva writes, came she gets another Meresh of Achzbiel. Yesh Machshim, Alo Shas HaShvaroi, Vekam Lab Sanhedrin. Da Filu Arakasa de Misani, Yahar Vayavar. Koshkein, Al Mitzah Gedol Chazu. Umistabra de Lokashia. The Ha Mitzah Tfilin, Bechiv Torah, Eina Ella, Beshah Shemekabel Olav Omal Chushamayim. Ulania Kolayom Midas Chasidus, Vekavan Shekein, Lo Hayach Limsor, Atzmo Aleim Al Shar Hayom. So what's the Ritva saying? Was he allowed to take off his tefillin?
Yeah.
Sure he was. Why? Because was he osek bar mitzvah? Is wearing tefillin part of 610?
Yeah. Yeah.
The answer is yes and no. When is it part of 610? At Kabbalas O Malchus Shamai. When you're saying Kriyat Shema, then it's part of 610. By the way, while I'm at it, if I can share a pet peeve. Sometimes once in a while I have a boy in his yeshiva, my miss shachris. So when do I notice he puts on tefillin? Mincha time. Why? Why mincha time? Makes no sense. I'm assuming if he missed shachris with a minion, he's still davening shachris. He just missed shachris with a minion. So when should he put on tefillin? When he's davening shachris. Why? What's the significance of shachris? It's A, first, and B, it's got kriyat shema. It's got kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. That is when you should be putting on your fill it. That says the Ritva is the mitzvah. All day long, so he was wearing it all day long. He was in the shuk wearing it. What's the nature of that activity? That's midas chasidus. Do you have to give up your life for midas chasidus? The answer is no. That's why he was able to take it off. Umorenu harav zal hay omishim rabbi nagodo. So omri yarval yabar ela abitl abitl mitzvahs lo ta'aseh. Sure, yes, biyado lihorek velo ya'aseh. Ava mitzvahs aseh. Shave the alta say lo ye horik alze shedovar biyado la kufoso shalo yase vavai boso shok masorim besanedrin Esther kaka olam. What's he saying right now? When is there a din of yahorik val yavor? When they tell you eat a cheeseburger, that is yahorik val yavor. But when they tell you don't wear tefillin, what's the halacha? You're allowed to not wear tefillin. What's the difference?
Action.
Yeah, but what's the difference?
Well, You're not doing anything.
Is it like it's not mandatory, but like it's not like it's an extra thing at that point? It's not.
No, that's the first answer. Yes. That's the first answer. What's he saying? The second answer. What's the difference between cheeseburger, eat a cheeseburger, and don't wear tefillin? Yes. Okay, so in other words, when you don't do, why are you not doing? Is it showing something by not wearing tefillin? It's not showing anything. Why? Because sometimes you're lazy, sometimes you're sleepy, sometimes you're this. When you do an avera, bekum ba'aseh, number one, it's more chamur. Because you're getting up and doing an avera. Number two is, the fact that you're acting, that's where the chil Hashem is. Anyone ever get sick? When you're sick, do you put on tefillin? There's a lot of different reasons why a person might not be wearing tefillin. But when you're eating the cheeseburger, so that bekumba asay, that represents chil Hashem. When you're getting up and doing, that's called chil Hashem. Now this is a chiddush over here. Because is Elisha Baal Kanafayim doing something or not doing something? He is doing something. What's he doing? He's taking off the tefillin. Nevertheless, says the Ritva, even though he's taking off the tefillin in the presence of the Kazdor, nevertheless, it's still classified as an E, Asiyas, Asay, and therefore, yeah, a person might take off tefillin for a bunch of reasons. It's called an E, Asiyas, Asay, and therefore you wanted to give up your life. Then he says, Daniel, Shemosar atzma latfiluf nimishos adin hoya. Ose. Lefishai hador parutz v'yifritzu lavar b'shamitz lo tase. So Daniel was told, I'm going to kill you if you daven. And what did he do? He davened. Is that analogous to tefillin or cheeseburger? Tefillin. So why did he give up his life? So the answer is, sometimes when you're a big person, a navi, a gadol hador, you need to make a stand. And in that situation, to make a stand, to take a stand, he was allowed to do. That is the position of the Ritva. I want to quickly do the Ran, because there are a couple of important chidush from the Ran, and then I want to close this up with a little bit of a Musar Haskel. So says the Ran, Vim Tomer, Heichi Ovid Ahochi, Akar Malam Beperek Nigma Adin, Debeshas Achshad, or Shmad, Afil Arakso, Demesani, Yerval Yavi, Yeshom Dahani Mila Avral Mitzvah Lotase, Avral Gozru, Levak, Mitzvah Se, came to in over be Adayim, V'od, number one, it quotes the Ritva. Ain't over be a dime, but oh, could they go ahead and compel my non-performance? Can they go ahead and compel me not to wear tefillin? No. Sure, they could. They can throw me into jail. And if I'm in jail, can they take away my tefillin? Can I wear tefillin? No, so they can get to the result anyway by force. And therefore, Tibata me'alea hilkog me'vata va'al yarev. Okay, so he deals with the first question. Now the second question. That's what I want to focus on. Vim Tomer, Im ken heyach mosar nafse. So how can Elisha do what? Put on tefillin in the first place. The kevan she'ena mechuya badavar. Was he obligated in tefillin? Once we say that by mitzvah say you what? You can live and not vad yisir. Kevan she'ena mechuya badavar. Have a mischayev be. Meaning what? If I have a choice, I have one of the 6-10, and I don't have to give up my life. So it's a din of Yavor ve'al Yaharek. What must I do? I must live. If it's a choice of Yavor, with me? 6-10. In case of tefillin. Am I supposed to put on tefillin? Yes or no? Yes. In general, yes. Now he's got a gun to my head. Am I allowed to? Can I put on the tefillin? No. Look, I can't put on the tefillin. Why? Because the din is v'chaybah yavor v'al yeharek. So how could Elisha do what? Put on the tefillin. So he says, Yei Shloma, very important. Sha'af al pi, she'ena mechuyav leharek, al kiyuma afilo achi rashai limsar nafsho alel umekabel schar shekol mitzvah shemasu nafsham masu yisrael nafsham alel b'shas hasmad muchzekes b'yad mekam aleim schar. Very important run. Rabosai, when the Torah tells us you're allowed to do the Avera, does it mean you have to do the Avera or you're allowed to do the Avera? So says the Ran, when the Psak is by 6:10, Yavor the Al Yehorek, is that a Heter or is it a Chiv?
It's a Heter.
And then he says, and think about it, how many holy Jews over the years, you've heard many of the stories, and they're inspiring stories. In the Holocaust, did they light Neros Hanukkah? Did they bake matzahs? They did all these actions. On what basis were they allowed to do these actions? These are all mitzvahs asay. It was Yahorik Val Yavor, and they were Moser Nefesh. Were they allowed to do that? Says the Ran, and he quotes the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed, that the din of Yavor Val Yahorik is a heter. But throughout Jewish history, there have been holy Jews for the mitzvah of Mila and for Neros Chanukah, Neros Shabbos, and Matzah, and all these mitzvahs. They were Moser Nefesh to fulfill mitzvahs even when they didn't have to. And guess what? Think about the mitzvah of Mila for a second. There's a Gemara later on, Daf Kuflam. The Gemara says the Klal Yisrael are amazing. Like under all pressures and circumstances, behind the Russian curtain and all these crazy places, they're Moser Nefesh and Mitzvah Mila. Where did that come from? It came from situations of Shmad, and they nevertheless pushed forward, were Moser Nefesh, and that gave us the koch over the years to fulfill these mitzvahs. Ironically, the Gemara tells us, Tefillin, we weren't so Moser Nefesh for over the years. Yeah, Elisha Baal Kanfayim was, we weren't, and therefore Tefillin, guess what? Are we weak on Tefillin? Is our door, our community, sometimes I interview guys on the Zoom, you wear Tefillin every day? I try to. Classic line. Classic. I try to. That means, I don't know what that means. But tefillin is roughly biadenu. It's weak in our hands. Mila is not weak in our hands. Every one of these kids has a bris mila. I didn't check, but they all have bris mila. Tefillin is not it. Why? Because during times of persecution, nevertheless, Klai saw most of Nefesh mitzvah mila. Not so when it comes to tefillin. There's a shitas haramba, which we're not going to get to right now. But the Rambam says, if there's a din of yavor va'al yahorek, you have to be over. You don't have a right. Is it your life to play with? And if the Torah says, do the Avera and save your life, that's not a matir. That's not an option. That's an imperative. And the Ram's going to have to learn our sugya of Elisha Baal Kanafayim as a case where he was obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. They have to understand that context. That's the Lech Mishnah and the Kes Mishnah discuss. But that kind of plays out and fleshes out some of our discussions of Esther Karka Olam and bring it to the case of Mitzvah Saseh of Elisha Baal Kanafayim and rounding out that discussion. Have an excellent afternoon.